Hey, welcome to Your Turn. Mike Causey, delighted to have you with us as we're here every Wednesday at 10 a.m. and we're following the money as per usual. We've got two very interesting and varied guests today. We're going to start off with Sean Riley from the Federal Times, and he's going to give us an update on what they're working for over at the Federal Times. Then we'll switch to Walton Francis, who is in his 33rd year of writing the Washington Consumer Checkbook Guide to Federal Health Plans. And we're going to be talking to Walton, asking him about this open season, and also we will be taking telephone calls if you have questions for or comments for either he or Sean Riley. Our number here is 202-465-3080. That's 202, Washington area code, 465-3080. Now we'll go to Sean. Are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, thank you for standing by. Pirate Radio again. Here we go. What are you guys working on?
Oh, lots going on this week. My colleague Steve Losey was at a hearing, congressional hearing yesterday on the Office of Personnel Management that touched on both the difficulties they've been having with insourcing this USA Jobs website, as well as long-standing issue, as you're aware of OPM's difficulty in getting pension, essentially getting annuities going to new retirees. It turns out that the backlog pending retirement cases has grown by almost 60% since OPM's director John Barry last year said that more than a year ago said that he'd be tackling the problem.
Well, Sean, I know you did a lot of legwork on this. And again, averages are don't really tell you much, but what are the backlogs running now? Because we've had emails from people. One person was 9 months and counting.
Well, it looks like it's probably around that. I mean, in terms of the total numbers, and I'm going by what Steve here reported, but it was Mr. Barry told Congress yesterday there were now 60,000 new retirees waiting for OPM to finish processing their claims and to begin issuing them new pensions, and that was up from 38,000 back in October of last year. So it seems to be increasing, and there doesn't seem, of course, there were some questions about this from members of this is the House Oversight and Government Reform Subcommittee on the Federal Workforce about what was going on. Apparently OPM does not really have a business plan on how to deal with this issue.
Well, it would seem to, among other things, they need more qualified bodies because so much of this is still a paperwork process. I did a column last week, actually it was really a letter from somebody complaining that he had been on hold for 6 to 9 months, and I was really surprised at 7 a.m. I got an email from the people at Boyers, Pennsylvania, and they said, can you give us this guy's name and number and caseload, and we will take care of it. We're sorry that's happening. So they're, as they say, they're dancing as fast as they can, but it seems like there may be not enough of them.
Well, yeah, I mean, and the average, John Barry said yesterday, is about 133 days to process new claims, so about 5 months. So it sounds like the person you heard from is a little bit above the average, but still, 5 months is a long time to wait if you don't have any other income coming in. And they have hired some people. I think about 35 or so new employees to process claims, and Barry said they're going to hire about another 40. You have to ask the question, why wasn't this done sooner, and why can't new retirees be assured of, getting their, having their pension start as soon as they retire?
Well, we live in the television age when on Criminal Minds you go to Agent Garcia and she gets her computer out and tracks down Osama bin Laden in half an hour or less. So people think that computers solve everything, but this is largely a paperwork process, isn't it?
Well, I think so, but also, I'm going by the testimony from yesterday's hearing, but apparently OPM over the years has spent about $100 million trying to modernize its retirement system and, three separate tries, and they've all failed. You can try to automate the system, and presumably that would be, so much in government HR is automated these days. You would think they could do it with this, but apparently there are some major issues or obstacles to actually accomplishing this. But clearly, at this point, if the IT upgrades aren't working, you will need more people to handle these claims. And particularly, I think as government is downsizing, they're offering many agents are offering buyouts. They're trying to encourage people to get out the door. So presumably, the number of claims is going to increase.
The lesson there is if you're thinking about retiring, preparing, have a nest egg. The experts always say 6 months to a year. Mm-hmm. Easier said than done. But if you're going to retire from the government, you better have it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you ought to be. You really have to be prepared these days, I think. And, you know, and not just for retirees, but with all these, you know, these cliffhanging budget showdowns, where there's always the possible threat of a government shutdown if Congress doesn't pass an appropriations bill in time. I think it's good for anybody to have a nest egg.
Yeah, absolutely.
To have a nest egg in place to carry them through, you know, a possible period when no money will be coming in.
That's right. My colleague Francis Rose said he was walking by a newsstand yesterday near our Starbucks, and that there were three national newspapers there. One said the super committee was going to do this, and they were nearing completion. The other said the super committee was hopelessly deadlocked and nothing was going to happen. And the third said nobody knows. What do you know?
I think probably what all three of those know. I think it just depends on what set of tea leaves you choose to read. I mean, you know, I've been covering Congress for a long time, and I never underestimate their ability to pull that rabbit out of the hat at the last minute, but certainly it's not looking very good at this point. And, you know, I think there are still people out there who hold out hope they will be able to come to an agreement on, you know, on, a blueprint for cutting the federal deficit by about $1.2 trillion by 2021, you know, and the deadline's next Wednesday. But I think there's some concern, there's some suspicion that if they do manage to hit that number, they will rely on gimmicks such as relying on savings from, war savings from, drawing down in Afghanistan and Iraq that were going to happen anyway. So it's a question about whether those should really be considered savings or not. But they do appear to be having a real issue on taxes. Republicans have offered to accept some increases overall, I guess, by eliminating or reducing some deductions or other tax breaks. But Democrats say that's not enough. And if Republicans won't come, go any further on taxes, Democrats aren't going to go any further on cuts to, favored programs on their end.
Yeah, you know, your point is well taken about I think many people in the media are frustrated sports reporters. And, you know, we use the metaphors slam dunk and hat race and fight and all that kind of thing. Everybody's always fighting. And we assume certain things can't happen. I remember when I first started covering Congress, and this was long, long ago. I think Daniel Webster was the speaker. It was midnight, and they had to take a vote by midnight or something would happen or not happen. And it was midnight. The vote hadn't been taken, and I got up to leave, and one of the older reporters said, "Sit down, kid." And I did. I sat down, and the speaker went over and literally stopped the clock. And then they proceeded, and about 20 minutes later, they passed their legislation. So that was a lesson in how things get done there. So we won't know until the large person sings, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and like most institutions, newspapers among them, Congress tends to work best or most effectively under a very tight deadline. But obviously, they're reaching that point, and they have an awfully long way to go between now and next Wednesday.
Good news. What about the Postal Service? What's going on there?
I guess from their perspective, nothing very good. They announced their final results for fiscal 2011, which ended in September, and they lost a net of $5.1 billion, and it would have been more than double that amount, except Congress chose to defer a $5.5 billion payment that was due September 30th, the last day of the fiscal year, for the Postal Service retiree health care fund. So essentially, on paper, the numbers look a little better than FY10, where they lost $8.5 billion net. But in reality, I mean, it's just, you know, things are just getting worse. And, they had a Board of Governors meeting yesterday where it was reiterated essentially that they just can't go on the way, and the course they're on, and that they're at risk of completely running out of money, even if they do get this, Congress does waive this retiree health care prepayment altogether, they're still at risk of running out of money by around October of next year. You know, meanwhile, in Congress, you've got legislation that's finally starting to move. Both the House and Senate committees of jurisdiction have passed, significant legislation, but these bills have a long way to go in terms of getting through their respective chambers, and there are major, major differences between them that would have to be reconciled. So, I mean, most of the observers I speak to don't think there's going to be any significant, you know, that nothing's going to come out of Congress until next year.
Nothing is often the best solution. Hey, Sean Riley, thanks for being with us. And you can read Sean and Steve Losey and Steve Watkins' stuff at federaltimes.com. And we'll be right back after this message here on 1500 AM.
And now, the Federal Living Report, brought to you by WEPA.
The Obama administration's proposal to carve the prescription drug benefit out of the federal employee health benefits program might actually be the beginning of the end of FEHB. Feds are worried it could mean the end of that program as they know it, but not without a fight. One consultant says there isn't a single study from GAO, CBO, or any other source that shows this proposal would save money. I'm Amy Morris.
Will you be receiving a 25% life insurance premium refund check from your insurance company? Federal employees with WEPA Life Insurance will be receiving over $6 million in premium refunds this fall. Since 1996, WEPA has refunded over $58 million in premiums. In comparison, Fegley has never issued a premium refund. Isn't it time you considered WEPA for your family's life insurance needs? For better insurance, better prices, and better value, visit WAEPA.org. Once again, that's WAEPA.org. The Pentagon and Beyond is brought to you by EADS North America.
The bottom line is, it's not about us. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta's words to the Senate Armed Services Committee as he explained the reasoning behind pulling completely out of Iraq by year's end. Panetta said, it's about what the Iraqis want to do and the decisions that they want to make. The U.S. military will continue limited counterterrorism training with Iraqi forces beyond the end of the year. More than 4,400 Americans have died and more than 32,000 have been wounded in Iraq. I'm J.J. Green.
How can we determine which armed aerial scout helicopter is best for the U.S. warfighter? By proving it in competition. EADS North America is ready to prove that our AAS-72X is superior to any other armed aerial scout helicopter out there. So let the competition begin. Saying you're the best isn't good enough for our warfighters. You need to prove it. EADS North America. Commitment defines us.
To win and deliver government contracts successfully, you need to align with the right teaming partners. Meet Tech Systems. While often behind the scenes, Tech Systems has worked with government agencies and systems integrators for over 25 years. In fact, every year, they deploy over 70,000 IT professionals at over 5,500 client sites nationwide, including more than 65 government agencies. Tech Systems is active across a broad spectrum of government programs and has developed deep relationships who understand what works well and who does it best. Thinking about cybersecurity, working on a cloud computing initiative. Tech Systems addresses critical program gaps related to people, projects, and work functions. Their delivery models scale from staff augmentation to IT project and outsourcing services to support transition, ramp-up, surge, and ongoing program support needs. Learn more at techsystems.com. TEKSystems.com.
I've always struggled with losing weight. With APWU Health Plan's new weight management program, I can see a dietitian or nutritionist in Cigna's extensive nationwide network for free.
APWU Health Plan has benefits to enhance your lifestyle. It features two plans with comprehensive benefits and nationwide coverage.
APWU Health Plan's diabetes management program saves me over $150 a month, and finding the right provider with Cigna's network was simple.
Learn more at APWUHP.com or call 1-800-742-2728.
Concerned about your health? Then be sure to catch the groundbreaking radio show Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero as they bring you the latest news about traditional and alternative medicine, nutrition, dietary supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio. Visit MyVillageGreen.com. Listen to past shows and discover other healthy living resources. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Megafood and Gero Formulas.
Welcome back to Your Turn. It's Mike Causey. Glad to have you with us. And the man of the hour, Walton Francis, is here in studio. Walton has been doing the Washington Consumer Checkbook Guide. We're in our 33rd year. Well, is that possible?
It hardly seems so.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm only 32 years old.
I know. I haven't aged. I'm the picture of Dorian Gray, sort of. But anyhow, glad to have you with us today. Lots of questions for you about this. But first off, your guide. Now, I'm a old timer guy. I like the paper version. I like your guide to the plans, and I think it's $9.95 and $12.95 with postage. But there's a lot of people now can get it free.
Yeah.
Via the internet.
A lot of federal agencies subscribe on behalf of all their employees. And if you're lucky enough to be in one of those agencies, you can access it at work or at home and, you know, and just go ahead and use the thing
easily. You mean, and you can obviously do it at work because they've subscribed to you at
right.
work.
And the way to find out, or if your agency doesn't subscribe, you can subscribe as an individual, mm-hmm. is to go to www.guidetohealthplans.org and check right there on the homepage. You can look up your agency.
I really like your system, and I don't think there's anything quite like it. So many people focus on premiums, and that's the premiums first, then the benefits and whatnot. The way you rank them, and correct me if I'm wrong, is you look at the plan, you look at the likely, the premiums are given. You know in Blue Cross or GEHA or APW, the premium is going to be a certain amount, but you also look at the likelihood of your out-of-pocket costs if you have an average year, if you have a bad year, and if you have a year where you don't use it at all. And so that's the way you rate it in a dollar basis, correct?
Yeah, we add up the likely out-of-pocket cost, and there's some variations on that, plus the for-sure premium expense, as you noted, and you get a total how much you'd like to be out-of-pocket next year in Plan A versus Plan B versus Plan C. And we find, you know, this is all adjusted for family size and age because older people are a lot more expensive, and pay system, this affects it. A lot of things affect it. But the bottom line is there's a table for you, and it shows you how much you'll save in Plan A versus Plan B. And sometimes that number is $2,000 or $3,000. So there's a lot of money on the table. And those people who sit, you know, in their office and don't bother to even look at the numbers to find out, is there some kind of deal I could get that's a lot better than what I have? You know, we have this year of no pay increases. And here's a way for a lot of people, literally hundreds of thousands of people could save $1,000 to $2,000 a year.
Okay, make up for not getting a pay raise. Well, you were mentioning before the show that this is one of the dullest open seasons in a long time because there are so few benefit changes and because the premium increases in many of the plans are modest. Some are even dropping the premiums. But dull though it may be, you still pays to shop.
Absolutely. The big savings opportunities are still there. The fact that they didn't get worse or better mm-hmm. isn't, you know, that big a deal. But the problem is because it seems like an ordinary, dull, open season, a lot of people will say, I don't need to pay attention. And, boy, is that a fundamental mistake. It's not just, by the way, dollars. Your health situation may have changed, and the plan you're in may not be as good for you as some other plan. Or maybe your physician's dropping that plan. You know, there's a lot of variables in play here. And for someone who won't spend half an hour or so figuring out what's going on and what's best for them and their family that's just a terrible abdication.
One of the key phrases, I guess, now in shopping for health insurance is preferred provider, and that is the doctor that your insurance plan will deal with and will handle. And you say the best way to find out if your doctor is in the health plan is to ask his or her, usually somebody in the office that handles the paperwork, but say, do you work with this plan? And if they do, that's a major factor in selecting that plan.
Sure. It may or may not outweigh other factors. And, you know, one of the things, people get spoiled by all these, you only pay $20 or $30 a visit. But, you know, it's possible to join a plan that'll cost you $1,000 a year less that doesn't include your doctor in its network and go pay the doctor out of pocket or use a flexible spending account to reduce the cost of that visit by a third or so. So, you know, it's not, there's no be all or end all answers for any one person. Only you can make the choice as to what's most or least important to you. But for sure, if keeping your doctor matters, it's well worth a check to ask what network. Well, you may know they're in the network this year. The question really is, on January 1st, what network will he be in?
Looking in your guide for the year, and there's you have a section in there. I guess these are not teasers, but they're factual, but they're eye-catching. And it says something about free health insurance in reference to, is that a health savings account?
Yes, absolutely. And, of course, there is no free health
right.
insurance.
But
in some of the high-deductible plans and consumer-driven plans, which are wonderful plans, we rate all of them as among the very best plans. It is possible, if you have a good year, to actually wind up the year with an amount in your savings account that's more than what you spent on premium if you have a tax-preferred premium where well, you're not really spending what you think you're spending, you know what I mean?
And it's that your is your money, conversion. Right?
It's your money. You can wind up the year with more money than you started.
John Elliott did a guest column for me. I think it ran Tuesday. And in it, he points out the value of the HD, high deductible, and the health savings accounts, HSAs. And he said they're wildly unpopular, but they're extremely good deals for a lot of people.
Oh, they're wonderful. They're a wonderful deal for anybody. If you don't use it up every year or in the first year or whatever, it accumulates over time and grows. So at that point, at some point, the high deductible becomes irrelevant. Your savings account might be 10 grand. And so you have to pay a 2 grand deductible 1 year out of five or something. You're still 8 grand ahead and it accumulates tax free. It grows tax free. You can take it out tax free. It's like a 401k plan on steroids.
Washington, we talk about a mixed marriage, is a federal worker who marries a non-federal worker. You know? And in that case, sometimes people will piggyback on the non-federal spouse's health insurance, may be less expensive, may even be free, assuming there is such a plan. But that's not a good idea, is it?
No, it's not. For a couple of reasons. One is, if you're anywhere near retirement, there is a requirement with hardly any loophole exceptions that says you must be continuously covered by some FEHPP plan in the 5 years before you retire, or you will lose it the day you retire. And this means either you cover it or a spouse covers it, but one way or another, you have to be under some plan. It can be a different plan every year, but it has to be continuous for 5 years. But there's something else going on, too. Suppose you're not yet ready to retire, but you drop dead at age 50 or whatever. If you are not covering your spouse through a family enrollment in the FEHPP, your spouse has just lost a lifetime benefit to federal employees' health insurance. Okay, so your widow, in that case, or widower, as whichever case it is just lost a benefit worth untold tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, okay, that's very good. Hate to do this, but we got to get to the Medicare Part B question, to be or not to be. And I know there's no simple answer to this, but many federal retirees wonder, should they take it or not? Should they suspend the federal program? Is there a rule of thumb on this?
No, there isn't. There's no right answer. There's lots of right answers. I don't know which way to say it. The key point is that taking Medicare Part B, which costs you roughly $100 a month, almost exactly $100 a month, $1,200 a year, $2,400 for a couple, gets you much less back than you pay in premium if you're in the FEHPP, because even though Part B is primary, and even though almost all the national plans give you some wraparound coverage, you're not going to get, you know, you're not going to get $1,200 back at $20 a doctor visit. No one goes to that many visits. On the other hand, there are advantages to Part B that are very important. One of them is it lets you go out of network. You can use, so once you're retired and on Part B, it doesn't matter whether you're an HMO or, you know, any of the national plans, letter carriers, or APWU. The deal is you go out of network, you get 100% coverage. And in the HMO case, you get the 80% coverage that Part B gives you. Either way, you're not chained to the plan network anymore. For some people, that's a huge benefit, well worth, $500 net extra a year in cost. The other thing Part B gives you is some political insurance. And particularly this year, with the Postal Service making noises about pulling out of the program and with who knows what that the super committee may do at a midnight bargaining session.
Let me interrupt you and ask you about that when we come back from a break here on 1500 AM.
Hey, it's the Geico Gecko. Now, as a federal employee, you're probably one for a smart presentation, so I've put together some charts and graphs here. There you go. That will help illustrate the money you could save by switching to Geico. First thing you'll notice is that Geico offers discounts to most federal employees GS7 or above. Now, this is big news. But that shouldn't come as any surprise from a car insurance company that has been serving government employees since 1936. And as you can see on this graph here, it's probably why we're the third largest car insurance company in the nation. Yeah, no, I do actually realise you can't see these, but trust me, they're rather impressive. Especially the 97% customer satisfaction rate. And when you consider it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more, well, all you GS7 employees or above should just contact GEICO. Tell them, Mike.
Hey, folks, this is Mike Causey, and the Gecko said it best. Most federal employees, GS7, the equivalent or above, could get a discount on their car insurance. Just call GEICO at 1-800-947-AUTO, go to geico.com, or visit your local GEICO office to see how much you could save.
Here's Jeremy Grant, Senior Executive Advisor, Identity Management, NIST, on the Federal Executive Forum on Trusted Identities and Identity Management, sponsored by Deloitte.
What we're really trying to create through NSTIC is what's dubbed an identity ecosystem, which is an environment where individuals and organizations can choose from a variety of different technologies to more easily authenticate online in a way that will enhance privacy, enhance choice, and enhance security. And the way that you can choose from a variety of different technologies is by adherence to common set of standards and policies.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Looking for tips to re-energize your agency's IT approach? Deloitte's top 10 technology trends share lessons from the front line, from real analytics to capability clouds to cybersecurity. Challenge conventional thinking and discover new pathways to efficiency, performance, and innovation. To download the report, visit Deloitte.com/federal. That's Deloitte.com/federal. Deloitte, helping government help America.
If you're a federal employee, it's time to choose your health insurance plan. So now's a good time to know about a different health plan that actually rewards you for living healthy. It's called Healthy Blue, and it's the next generation of health benefits from CareFirst Blue Choice. Healthy Blue rewards you with no-cost office visits, x-rays, lab tests, and preventative screenings, plus no referrals. And how's this for a reward? After switching to Healthy Blue, families can earn up to $700 towards their deductible and individuals $300. Healthy Blue is a new and positive approach to health care, and it's one more example of how committed CareFirst is to working with you and your doctor to help you on the road to good health. Visit HealthyBlueRewards.com to see how easy it is to earn up to $700 now and save even more through the years. Then take greater control of your costs and your health by choosing Healthy Blue from CareFirst. You, your doctor, and CareFirst. A healthy relationship.
From the CareFirst Blue Cross Blue Shield family of healthcare plans, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association, some no-cost benefits and rewards are only available through your Blue Choice PCP.
A new company with more than 50 years of experience, ITT Defense is now ITT Excellus. The reliable, flexible partner you've come to know is now tightly focused on providing innovative, essential C4ISR solutions and information and technical services. Work with a true partner, ready to solve your challenges with situational agility and a record of rapidly fielding affordable solutions. Experience the power of ingenuity at excellusinc.com.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
The Department of Veterans Affairs says it's been able to increase the number of IT projects its staff are working on by 60%. VA says when it studied its IT projects, it found the people working on some of them were far busier than they were on other projects. IT employees now work in a competency model, moving their skills from project to project based on VA's needs and priorities at any given time. VA thinks it's also led to a more satisfied workforce. They say turnover right now is about half what it is in the private sector.
General Dynamics Information Technology is dedicated to providing the latest, highest quality information technology services and resources to help organizations meet their mission objectives. Large-scale IT systems and communications networks are the strategic and operational heart of defense, intelligence, civilian government, and private business. They require the expertise of a company that delivers results. General Dynamics Information Technology, information technology and professional services. Go to GDIT.com to learn more. That's GDIT.com.
Welcome back to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey. I'm talking with Walton Francis. He is the editor and author of the Washington Consumer Checkbook's Guide to Federal Health Plans. You can get it, and many federal agencies have subscribed for you, and you can do it online, and obviously you can do your research at work, and that's their intention. Walton says this is one of the dullest open seasons around in that premiums aren't going up much, if any, in most plans, and the benefits changes are minimal, but that's no reason you shouldn't pay attention. He said you can save $1,000, maybe $2,000 a year by picking the health plan that's best for you. And the way the checkbook rates these plans is they look at both the premiums you will be paying in each plan and also your likely out-of-pocket costs if you have a moderate year, if you have a tough year, if you have a year with no expenses at all. So you can really pinpoint it. And also the categories are very important, too. Young people have different needs for health insurance. Older people want another kind of health plan. You may be an HMO type, a health maintenance organization. That may be the bad thing for you. And also he is high on these high deductible plans, especially in conjunction with a health savings account. But we're talking about Medicare Part B before the break. And as you say, there's no right answer, but there are for some people, it's a waste of money. And for others, it could be a godsend.
Yeah, absolutely. And as I started to say, with the Congress capable of almost anything, being in Part B is some political protection if they do something bad to the FEHVP and vice versa. And the problem is you of course, can drop or join Part B at any time, but after age 65. But there's a penalty for rejoining of 10% or delaying 10% a year. So it's a very costly decision to not take it and then later decide you should have taken it. But, you know, that said, you're talking about costs, which for a married couple, if you're in Blue Cross standard option with both, retired couple, both on Medicare Part B, your total premium next year, your cost out of pocket before you see a single doctor, it's going to be about $7,500. So if you're going to take Part B, and for many and probably most, it's a good, perfectly sensible decision, at least consider looking at a plan that's got a lower premium, okay? And one of the simplest options is from Blue Cross Standard. It's Blue Cross Basic, same network. In some respects, a better plan. The big difference is you don't get to go out of network because it's strictly the preferred provider network in Blue Cross Basic. But again, in either with or without Medicare, this advice applies generally. If you have Medicare B, that lets you go out of network.
Okay. Now, some people talk about dropping their federal health insurance, which I know horrifies you, the thought of it. But what about waiving it? Can you come in and out?
You can suspend it under some circumstances. For example, if you're in TRICARE, a military plan, you can suspend FEHVP and then later make a different decision if you choose to. The interesting case, the real money-saving case, the real bargain available is to be in Medicare Parts A and B both. Here's another reason to take Part B. And then suspend FEHVP and join a Medicare Advantage plan. And Medicare Advantage, which was modeled after the FEHVP, has hundreds of plans in any given area, typically 30 or so. HMOs, PPOs, fee-for-service, very similar into the FEHVP itself. And then you're only paying one premium instead of two.
But don't give up your health insurance. Suspend it if you can, but don't ever – what do you do? Send a note saying, I quit?
If you quit, you're out forever.
Yeah, that's good. The Postal Service. We've had a couple of emails here. One very long one that came into Jason Miller, and he passed it on to me. And another from Catherine in Austin, Texas. But they both have the same question. They're either retired from the Postal Service or they're about to retire, and they think they're about to get the shaft.
They may be right. The USPS has some proposals to completely pull out of the FEHVP. I don't think they fully understand the implications of those proposals, even for their own workers. Turns out the Postal Service is even more aged, on average, than the non-postal civilian employees, and costs on average for either self-only and families taken together, and just because older people cost more, would raise their average cost per enrollee by something close to $2,000 a year. Okay, that's what they have to pay just to keep things even for current employees. For retirees, they have their money on the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Earlier in the show, this $5.5 billion they're supposed to pay every year. But it's beyond that. There's also something like $40 billion sitting in reserve for postal retirees. And they clearly have the management of the Postal Service clearly has their eye on that money. They say they'll come up with some scheme to have all postal retirees take Part B, which, make it mandatory. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Okay, but clearly they're not going to provide 100% wraparound. You know, they're not going to beat the FEHVP prices. There's no reason to think they could manage anything, a health insurance program, nearly as well as the Office of Personnel Management, which is, despite whatever other failings it may have in this area, has just proved over time to be a superb steward. So that's something to be a little bit scared about. I think, though, you really have to focus in open season on the choices before you today because, you know, if you can speculate endlessly about what might happen 5 or 10 years down the road, make your sensible choice today based on what fits for you and your family.
That's always good advice, that people who make a decision now based on what might happen in 6 months or a year. That's always a good thought. How about getting into some of the best buys? And because throughout the book, and again, I like the way you break it down. You break it down for part-timers, for full-timers, by age, people who are retired, Medicare's with and without Medicare. What are some of the best buys?
Okay, there's a lot, and let me just mention a few. By the way, we said it's kind of a boring open season. There are two things going on this open season. One of them is just there's a new plan, a new kid on the block, and that's the Care First Blue Choice standard option, and that's a point-of-service plan that lets – it's an HMO that lets you go out-of-network. Okay, so that's in the D.C. area. That's a big innovation. There's a handful of others around the country, but that's sort of HMO that gives you some of the advantages of a fee for service plan. So that's the change in plans. But a lot of the plans are offering new wellness and preventive care benefits. OPM has been urging them to do so, and practically every plan now has some special deal if you are willing to lose weight and take your medications religiously and go to the gym and so on, okay? And they'll give you a little special spending account or something off your deductible. Most of these are pretty small amounts of money, but, you know, they're there. That's an important change. But that all those things said, among the HMOs, we always find that Kaiser Standard Option is the best buy, usually by a fair margin. But there's some others that are not far behind. Aetna Open Access Basic, the Care First Blue Choice High Option. Okay, all three of those are really fine options. Among the all the consumer driven and high deductible plans are good buys, and APWU has one. Aetna has two. A health HDHP and a CD. GIA has a high deductible. Mail Handlers has one. And for people in Maryland, there's a Coventry high deductible health plan. So there's a lot of good options there, and those are advantageous for almost anybody, including even, for example, people who are over 65 on Medicare. Those plans don't wrap around, but you can use the Medicare to fill in the deductible.
So you've got the HMOs and the high deductible plans, which you like. The national plans, the ones
well,
we think
that's
of
for the people who are a little less frisky. Mm-hmm. Okay, and there's really awfully good deals there too. Blue Cross Basic and GIHA and APWU are the three that are open to all that stand out this year. But there's Foreign Service, which is available pretty broadly to the whole foreign affairs intelligence community as a very good buy. Compass Rose, which is the CIA plan.
Uh-oh, now they'll have to kill you.
Okay. And, you know, the old standbys, letter carriers, NALC, SAMBA standard option, those are perfectly sensible plans to be enrolled in. They can save you a lot of money.
Okay. What are things that maybe people should not do other than to do nothing during an open season?
They probably shouldn't pick a plan just because their doctor is in it. I mean,
good point.
If they're going to have to pay an extra $3,000 in premium to get one doctor, is that possibly a sensible decision? They shouldn't not look at the change page in the brochure for their plan because the changes, there are not a lot of them this year, but suppose the plan has dropped the coverage for the thing that matters to you most. Or maybe it dropped it a year or two ago and you didn't notice, but now you have this new illness. You better check. I think the other thing is people miss something they ought to. This year, for example, we newly rate hearing aid coverage in all the plans, okay? And that reflects the fact that OPM for several years has asked the plans. We got an aging federal workforce, an increasing number of retirees. A lot of people went to too many rock concerts when they were young. Most of the national plans and most of the HMOs now offer a hearing aid benefit, but they vary substantially. So if you don't even know that your plan covers hearing aids or that there's another plan that covers them better, You're making a terrible error.
Excellent. Short break here. We'll be right back on 1500 talking with Walton Francis about best buys for your health plan.
To win and deliver government contracts successfully, you need to align with the right teaming partners. Meet Tech Systems. While often behind the scenes, Tech Systems has worked with government agencies and systems integrators for over 25 years. In fact, every year, they deploy over 70,000 IT professionals at over 5,500 client sites nationwide, including more than 65 government agencies. Tech Systems is active across a broad spectrum of government programs and has developed deep relationships to understand what works well and who does it best. Thinking about cybersecurity? Working on a cloud computing initiative? Tech Systems addresses critical program gaps related to people, projects, and work functions. Their delivery models scale from staff augmentation to IT project and outsourcing services to support transition, ramp-up, surge, and ongoing program support needs. Learn more at TechSystems.com. TEKSystems.com.
Cellist Yo-Yo Ma, one of the great stars of classical music, enthralls audiences all over the world with his passion and artistry. When it comes to picking a cello, he tends toward Italian instruments made in the 18th century. When it comes to a timepiece, however, he favors an instrument crafted in Switzerland, the Rolex Datejust. Since Rolex introduced the first self-winding calendar wristwatch in 1945, the Datejust has become one of the most sought-after models in the Oyster line. With its classic Oyster design and magnified date window, the Datejust is every bit as distinctive as the master cellist who wears it. To see the Datejust and a complete selection of other Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Tourneau, the world's largest watch store. Tourneau, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
The Cloud Conundrum, Public, Private, or Both, a panel discussion with experts from government and industry, sponsored by Brocade. Panelist Chris Smith, CIO of USDA.
Internally, we stood up our own private cloud offerings as we were doing data center consolidation. I started out by saying it was an evolution. 2 years ago, we knew the value that was in sharing compute, getting higher virtualization levels, getting a more secure platform. So we've been on that path. We've seen a 60% reduction in operating expenses. And that's huge. And we look at our rates every year to say, okay, are we competitive within the government space? We're cross-servicing other folks.
Cloud innovations are here. Is your network optimized? Accelerate to the cloud with Brocade's new technology and business models. Brocade's cloud-optimized solutions provide a foundation to help organizations migrate to private clouds. What does this mean to your agency? Increased utilization, simplified management, and an agile organization. That's why Brocade solutions are used in over 90% of global 1,000 data centers. Learn how Brocade will transition your organization to a virtualized world. Go to federalnewsradio.com. Search Cloud.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Hello, my federal friends. It's the Geico Gecko, and I've got good news for you. I might even say it's some of the best news ever. Okay, well, definitely in the top three. The big news. Geico offers discounts for most federal employees GS7 or above, which is no doubt a lot of you out there. So you could be saving hundreds of dollars on your car insurance, all with a company that began over 70 years ago with the sole purpose of serving government employees like yourself. Yeah, that's right. Geico. The Government Employees Insurance Company. And today, well, we're the third largest car insurance company in the nation. And did you know about Geico's 97% customer satisfaction rate? Well, saving money tends to make people rather happy, I think. So congrats again to those federal employees GS7 or above. Welcome to the Savings Club. Mike?
Got it. Hey, folks, this is Mike Causey. The Gecko's right. Discounts are available for most federal employees GS7, the equivalent, or above. Just call Geico at 1-800-947-AUTO, go to geico.com, or visit your local Geico office to see how much you could save.
This is Mark Amtower. For 27 years, I've advised hundreds of large and small contractors on the best marketing tactics to reach key government buyers and influencers. Collectively, my clients have made billions of dollars by maximizing the value of their contracts. If you need to maximize the value of your GSA schedule, GWAC, or IDIQ, or you need to raise your overall visibility in the government market, we need to talk. Make certain your marketing budget pays major dividends. Contact me at federaldirect.net.
Welcome back to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey, and I'm talking with Walton Francis. He has done the 33rd edition of the Checkbook's Guide to Federal Employee Health Plans, and it rates health plans by not only premium and benefits, but also your likely out-of-pocket costs if you have a bad year, if you have a good year, or if you pay only the premiums. Well, we were talking about the Postal Service and what many people think is not such a great idea to go their own way on setting up their own health insurance plan for their workforce, which you point out is older than the white-collar federal workforce. And also, at one point, the U.S. Postal Service had a higher rate of disability retirements than did the Marine Corps. You know, it's a tough outfit to work for. If they went on their own, they think they could do better or somehow or other get their hands on that pile of money that's sitting there for future retiree health benefits. But I seem to recall the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation had the same idea, I'm sure for different reasons, sometime back. But they're FDIC. They're paid for by the fees that to the banks pay them, and it's one of those federal agencies that can operate rather independently. They went their own way, and all of a sudden they decided it wasn't such a good idea.
Yeah, because it turns out it's going to cost them their shirt, an arm, and a leg. It's a Federal Employees Health Benefits Program is a superbly cost-effective program. The thought that someone could pull out and beat it by some magic ledger domain is, you know, almost absurd. I mean, it's well-run, it's economical, it's frugal.
Right. Yeah, I remember that. They crept back into the Federal Employee Health Benefits Plan. And you have a section in your book where you have premiums for regular federal workers, premiums for postals who pay less, not the retirees, but the workers. And then you have an FDIC premium schedule as well.
Yeah, everyone does not pay the same premium. Yeah. And the postal workers actually have a considerably better deal than the non-postal white-collar workforce, as do the FDIC employees. But that's actually, you know, presumably
could go away.
That could go away, too.
Yeah, that's a bargaining tool, and if they go to arbitration,
We rate the plans for every category of employee. Any postal worker listening, hey, you can save money even though more of your premium is paid. There's still lots of money on the table to be found.
And nobody, I've never heard of anybody who's happy with their health plan's dental benefits, including here at WFED. Nobody likes it. But you seem to have a very large section on the dental coverage.
Yeah, we try. It's so many people care about it, and there's some very large number of people who have enrolled in these new standalone dental plans. I can't remember the, you know, it's like 500,000 mm-hmm. people. The thing is, the dental plans are not subsidized by the government. They're freestanding. The cost of those plans has to be covered by the people who enroll in them. And guess who enrolls in them? People with a mouthful of problems. So they are not, in general, spectacular buys, okay? In fact, a lot of the regular health plans at no extra premium cover at least modest dental expenses, and MDIPA has a very good dental benefit at no extra premium. But, if you think you're going to have some crowns and bridges next year, it probably pays to join one of the dental plans. And, you know, we rate them. They're roughly comparable, but there are some big differences. For example, Humana, which is one of our top rated plans, will cover you for up to $10,000 in expenses, whereas GEHA Dental Standard, which is otherwise a very good buy, will only pay for $1,200 in a year. So, you know, that's one crown, not two or three, the way Humana will cover.
Got a question on Medicare Part D. D is in Delta, mm-hmm. D is in dog. So you've got A, B, C, and D. D is prescription drug.
Yeah, and most federal employees probably shouldn't, or retirees, I should say, probably shouldn't even consider it, but there are situations. For example, there is a dynamite combination for people who do take Part B of Medicare. GEHA Standard Option is one of the lowest premium plans and offers 100% wraparound coverage for your medical and dental. It's a spectacular combo, but they have a lousy prescription drug benefit. You have to pay half the cost of brand name drugs. So all these plans cover generics very well. The issue is always name brand. So what some people do, and I have friends who do this, is they have Medicare Parts A and B, GIA standard option, and they sign up for a Medicare Part D drug plan because that plan is primary. And even though it has a donut hole, you know, the chances are between that plan and GIA, you're going to have almost all your prescription drug costs covered.
So there are cases where you want A, B, and D, and GIA. Okay. We've got just a couple of minutes left. Is there, and we'll have you back next week, right? We're going to keep doing this till we get it right, year after year. If you were given a 3-minute seminar on shopping for this during this open season, what would you say?
Oh, well, in the first place, for heaven's sakes, review your health situation and your family's health situation. Look at the brochure of the plan you're in. They're all online, either at our website or OPM's. Very easy to find. You don't have to actually print them even. You can just look at them on your screen and look at the change page, how we changed this year, and look at the summary of benefits page. If you do nothing else, do those two things. The one of them's near the front, usually around page 10, and one of them's a page or two from the very back, easy to find. Review your coverage and review the changes. Make sure that something bad isn't happening. So that's just automatic, those two things. Your own health, you and your family's health status, check the plan you're in. Now, if you're willing to spend another 5 or 10 minutes, 15 minutes, saving $1,000 or $2 next year, you might take a few more steps. Like on your own, you can research and compare plans. OPM has a great website, okay, opm.gov/insure, or come subscribe to Checkbook's online guide at www.guidetohealthplans.org. We do some things that OPM can't reasonably do because they don't rate the plans, but they do make it easy to compare coverages. Our website and OPM's both have a very nice feature. You can compare two or three plans side by side on a particular benefit area. Okay, very convenient. I want to really zero in on prescription drugs, mm-hmm. You say to yourself. Okay, take a look at letter carriers and Blue Cross Standard and Blue Cross Basic and GIA, even though it's, you know, side by side, and see how they compare.
And then if pick two or three or four, and then take those into your doctor's office and find out the person in the office who knows the administrative side of it, and say, does the doctor accept these plans? And that's a measure. But you said earlier, don't pick a plan simply because your doctor is in it.
Right. And the other thing you can do, we have quality ratings on all the plans, okay? Very good. There are surveys of all of enrollees in each plan, and the enrollees tell OPM and others, and we get the information, how well did the plan treat you and so on. So we get a lot of information on how well different plans treat you. So there's the cost, the quality, is your doctor affiliated? Those are three very important questions.
And I guess the other thing, too, and I think you've mentioned this many times in the past, is the primary reason people buy health insurance, have health insurance, is for catastrophic coverage.
Absolutely.
How would you explain that?
Well, it's every plan has a stated limit on the most you can pay out of pocket. OOP, out of pocket. And those limits often all look fairly low, but a lot of them have loopholes or gimmicks. For example, the out-of-pocket limit may not cover prescription drugs, or there may be a separate limit for prescription drugs. And to really think through the possibilities, you have to add the two together. Plus, the premium is something you're going to pay out-of-pocket for sure. So what we do is we adjust them to be comparable. If they left something out, we put it in so that the number we show people is comparable. And when all is said and done, a plan that claims a limit of $4,000 may really only have a limit of somewhere around $8,000 or $9,000, and the plan that claims $6,000 may really limit you to less than $6,000. So our ratings are it's the only source that compares these things and makes them comparable.
Can I understand the number one cause of bankruptcies in the U.S. is to do with medical bills?
Yeah, I don't think that's probably the case for federal employees.
No. Well, there again, you know, when you're talking about, I guess the way, if you want to convince federal workers that they have a very good deal in this program, is look at the page that says what you would pay if you're paying the full premium. Thank you, Walter Francis. We'll do this again next week, and really appreciate you being here. Our shows are archived on our homepage. You can listen to them anytime. So if you want to hear this one again or tell a friend about it, tell them to go to our homepage and click the archival section, and we'll see you next Wednesday. Stay safe.